THEL adder of THEGODs 417. Colors whose shades denote the aspects of the astral soul. When the aspirant has transcended the concerns of the planets and risen through their orbits to liberation, he then assumes the starry clothing of the firmament. Thus the stars are symbols of spirit, the planets of soul, and the elements of body. Herein lies the explanation for the three-runged ladder which unites heaven and earth. The rungs of this ladder are the three mice. Teres perpetuated in Freemasonry as the Blue Lodge. The lowest round is physical, the second emotional, and the third mental, for it was written in the ancient work, our thoughts are from the stars, our emotions from the planets, and our forms from the earth. Entering the chamber of the Mithraic rites, the candidate found himself in a great cavern either formed by natural means or hewn from solid rock by the priests. In the center of the cavern stood a pyramid rising in seven steps, each of its levels painted a different color. In some cases the pyramid was divided into definite platforms, in others a narrow spiral pathway wound from base to summit as in the Chaldean ziggurats, or astronomical towers. From the flight of steps leading up the face of the pyramid, access to the various planes or levels was had through low gates, each composed of a different metal. The description given by Celsus of these metals is probably a blind, for the ancients followed a definite system, which he has deviated from. Conducted by the Hierophant, who discoursed to him concerning the mysteries as he progressed, the neophyte ascended the steps of the pyramid, first entering through a silver gate onto the platform of the moon. Beyond was another gate resembling brass, which was that of Mercury, and still farther on a third gate of copper sacred to Venus. The fourth gate was of gold, the fifth of iron, the sixth of tin, and the seventh, and last, of lead. After passing through these gates, the neophyte found himself upon a flat, square area, and before him a triangular altar upon which burned three fires. The master of the rite then explained that by this ascent was revealed the felicity of liberated souls, the joyous upward motion of lives toward their sovereign cause, that passing from 418 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY one plane to another, the candidate had recapitulated the after death process by which his superphysical constitution verged away from matter and inclined itself toward the immaterial foundation which is in the heavens and concealed from the profane by the leaden ramparts of Saturn. In his climb, the aspirant had actually stepped from planet to planet, leaving behind him the inferior spheres, finally to approach proximity to that threefold fire, the triform flame of unimaginable being, that bums forever and a day upon the glorious altar of universal reality. Learn, O my son, the master continued, the mystery of the ever-burning fire whose triple wick dipped in an inexhaustible fuel burns with steady luminosity through out all the eons. The first flame is universal life, the second universal light, and the third universal motion, and these together are one flame. God is a blinding light and a consuming fire, for his light is eternal reason which renders all things visible and comprehensible. Light the lamp of your own mind upon this altar of eternal mind, that the reason which is in all things may call forth the reason that is in you. When the lamp of your reason is lighted, all things become evident, the dark mysteries of life are dissipated, and the glow of realization causes all secrets to reveal themselves and all hidden works to be made manifest. The base of this pyr amid is square. It is your body. Its four elements combine to produce the mystic cube called man. The seven steps are your senses by which the within comes to know the without and which the without climbs, even as a ladder, to discover the within. Consciousness, ascending the ladder of the senses, finally brings its message to the inner nature. The threefold flame here is the one, the beautiful, and the good, which together are the light of equality, the torch of reason, and the magical fire the magician must carry if he would invoke the dread person of deity. Upon the other side of this pyramid the stairs descend into the darkness of the cavern below. The candidate follows his initiator down again into the darkness of the subterranean room. Having passed through the metallic gates and standing once more at the base of the pyramid, the initiator resumes. THEL ADDER OF THEGODS 419. This descent signifies the soul departing from its state of felicity and, after passing downward through the gates of the seven spheres, taking upon itself the sorrows of birth. In the gloomy cavern of the world, uninitiated men and women struggle vainly against the inevitable reactions of their own ignorance. Seeking permanence in an impermanent sphere, they suffer without respite, and their lot is indeed desperate. But those who by rational procedure have discovered the pyramidal nature of creation and learned to know the order of divine procedure whereby man ascends and descends the steps of destiny, such can no longer be bound to the untranquil sphere, but abiding therein a little while and tolerating its sorrows, prepare themselves for a more auspicious day by inclining their minds to reason. By these mysteries, then, is arcanely revealed the order of life, and by this pyramid the procedure of life. He who accepts the mystery into himself and ponders its meaning will be rewarded for his industry by the realization of sidereal order. We are ever walking up and down the steps of space descend, ing thither from a more blissful state into one of uncertainty, or ascending from an uncertain state into one of blessed felicity. He who comprehends the wisdom of this divine motion will realize that God is ever drawing lives to himself that they may partake of the fullness of his inspiration, and then casting them from him again that through great need they may learn to value the fullness of that inspiration. From the presence of the unchanging one there pours ever downward through the substances of the invisible world a host of souls moving in evitably into birth, while from the world of visible and tangible physical things there comes a host of souls pouring into death. Those coming into life descend the ladder, and those coming into death ascend the ladder, for death brings the soul nearer to God than does birth. Through the mysteries there pours still another stream, that exalted order which ascends the great pyramid to descend no more, who upon reaching the fiery altar upon its summit cast themselves into the eternal flame, and from their own natures feed its eternal hunger. In his chemical marriage, Christian Rosenkreutz describes the vision of CRC as he slept shackled in the antechamber of the house of initiation. In his dream, CRC beheld the strange sight of a multitude of persons suspended from heaven by cords. In an early Rosicrucian book which I examined some years ago, the subject of these hanging men was elucidated in detail. The dangling figures are the sophists, those false learners who ever seek to climb to heaven upon their own suppositions. We are all supported by our beliefs, held up as it were by the strength of our premises and the sufficiency of our postulations. Yet in all too many instances how slender and inadequate is the thread of mortal reason to which we trust our weight. Among the sons of Islam there is an ancient fable to the effect that there shall come forth a prophet who will stretch a hair from the Mount of Olives to the Golden Gate of Jerusalem, and using it for a bridge will walk across the valley of Jehoshaphat, or the place of death. The hair, according to the Kabbalah, is the symbol of the glory of God and the countless diversity of His mercy. Taking this fable in its literal sense, a Mohammedan fanatic wove a rope of human hair and essayed the feat, but was killed. In the legend of Christian Rosenkreutz, it is further stated that an aged man, who represents Cronus, or time, the justifier of all actions, flew in and out among the hanging sophists, wearing an hourglass tied to the top of his head and carrying in his hand a pair of sharp shears, the divine iconoclast would fly up behind any of the worldly wise men who climbed too ambitiously up their swaying ropes and cut away their slender support. Another observation by the author of The Chemical Marriage is to the effect that the higher these false learners climbed, the harder and more disastrous was their fall, so that many were dashed to pieces. The more prudent ones, however, realizing the insecurity of their position, remained close to the earth and suffered comparatively little harm when their cords were cut, often alighting uninjured upon their feet. We all share in common the desire to climb to heaven up the ladder of our own convictions, and believing ourselves to 420 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY THEL ladder of THEGODs 421. Be infallible, we set out to storm the gates of the eternal. No spectacle is more pathetic than that of the individual who, led to false and dizzy heights by his egotism, has been dashed therefrom into the depths of misery and disillusionment. The more we depend upon the false, the more we suffer when that falseness is exposed. The story of the hanging men is evidently concerned with the effort to ridicule those Aristotelian school men whose fallacies were already apparent at the beginning of the 17th century. Elevated above their fellow men by vain assertions, and maintaining themselves by subterfuge and equivocation, these pedants preyed upon the credulity of an illiterate age. But time was finding them out, for science, rising out of this protest against intellectual pettifoggery, furnished Cronus with the shears wherewith to cut down the scholastic befogger of issues. In this allegory, heaven is used to signify the sphere of the truly learned, for it was presumed that those whose knowledge was sufficient dwelt in a state of tranquility far above the abode of ordinary mortals, tormented by doubt and rendered impotent by ignorance. The light of tranquility, as the followers of Boma might call it, radiates from the paradisiac sphere of the contented. Humanity moves instinctively toward that tranquil state of the philosophic blessed, for we incline toward that person or condition which radiates happiness. This instinct has been shamelessly exploited in the name of religion, but the age of empty promises is closed. Having vainly sought happiness among the dictums of faith and in the company of the so-called holy, the individual is coming to realize that peace lies only within himself. In Dryden's translation of the Aeneid, Arc found several significant copper engravings, one particularly showing a genius cutting the slender thread of life connecting mortal man with his divine origin. A small plate also showing this thread issuing from the crown of the head and disappearing upward into a cloud of divine radiance is to be found in Michael Myers' Scrutinum Chymicum. Various modifications of this idea constituted a favorite theme of the medieval emblem writers, especially such as were